as pop culture would lead us to believe. Corruption of public officials leads to less compliance with the regulations that those officials are tasked with monitoring. But in reality, that may not be the case. Ozarks at Largest Timothy Dennis recently spoke with a University of Arkansas economics professor about corruption and the role it plays in regulatory compliance.
Fabio Mendez was on vacation with his wife when he experienced corruption firsthand. The two were in the midst of a car trip to the beach, a trip that he says would normally take between 4 and 5 hours. It wasn't an extremely long trip, but as Fabio puts it, it was just long enough to gain an incentive by going slightly over the speed limit. And then the couple drove past a welcoming sight.
I wasn't speeding much, but she kind of noticed I was going above the limit. And as we were going through the highway, she noticed a traffic officer on the side of the road, but the traffic officer was clearly sleeping.
Though he says his wife was put off from the apparent corruption, Fabio took advantage of the snoozing patrolman.
I was inside myself a little happy because then I felt like I could speed without consequences, so that'll make my trip shorter and the whole day better. So I continued to speed, and the conversation ended. But then about an hour after or so, I was stopped by a traffic officer who came out of nowhere. They were, you couldn't see this guy.
But this officer didn't have as much of an apparent hands-off approach to enforcement as did his sleeping comrade down the road. When asked by the officer, Fabio produced his American driver's license and travel documents, and that's when he ran into problems.
I says, well, but this really complicates things because you have a foreign license and, you know, the formal procedures are complicated now. We would have to file this form, but to file the form, we would have to go downtown. And right now, I think the offices are closed. I don't know if you can make the process today. And then, of course, we have to go downtown, but I cannot let you drive because your wife does not have a national license. No, she doesn't have an. Oh, well, then that's a problem. We cannot let her drive either. So you guys would have to find a medium of transportation, and you cannot leave the car here because that's against the law also. So you would have to find somebody to take the car for you.
After unraveling this tree of consequences, the officer kindly offers another option, an option that would let Fabio and his wife avoid the bureaucratic hurdles.
Then the guy says, of course, there's another way, because I could, all this is paperwork, I could really deal with the paperwork, and then, you know, I would just give you like a temporary permit to drive, and then when I go back to the office this afternoon at my own expense, then I would file the paperwork for you, and you would just have to pay the price of the normal ticket. I could do that for you and we can help each other. And it was very clear that the option that I had was horrible. And not only horrible, but probably very legal, right? Very according to the laws. So I got the message.
Yes, the officer was asking for a bribe to make the infraction easier to swallow. Fabio paid the bribe and his speeding ticket to avoid additional hassles during his vacation. But it was a statement that the corrupt cop made after receiving the bribe that stuck with Fabio.
He says, Mr. Mendez, by the way, I know that you're going towards this area of the coast. And let me tell you that if I was you, I would not speed because there's others like me along the road. And I said, you know what, that's great. But that last comment stayed with me as I started driving. And I said, well, I don't want to go through this again. I mean, this is horrible to go through. So, and then on top, I have to pay more money and then it gets slowed down again. So I stopped speeding.
Fabio is an economist at the Walton College of Business at the University of Arkansas. With this scene stuck firmly in mind, he had an idea for his latest paper on corruption.
If it's possible, to me, then it can happen in many different areas. And it is true, right? You can imagine sales taxes, you can imagine health regulations, you can imagine restaurants and their codes that they have. So right there, once you start driving, once you're in that chair, you feel it. This is happening. So I didn't have to think very, very hard. The formalities of the paper and how to model this into an academic work that has not only validity, but has a logical background, a theoretical model, some empirical verification to it. Yeah, that's the academic process. But the bluntness and the obviousness of the answer was right there in front of me.
The paper in which Fabio outlines these ideas was recently published in Public Choice, a journal that focuses on the connection between economics and political science. He says that the paper hinges on the idea that when public officials who monitor regulatory compliance are paid a fixed wage, corruption of those officials can follow.
The trick is to notice that the people or the agents that are not complying with the regulations, they don't care whether they get caught by an honest or a corrupt official. They care about getting caught. Now, the officials, whether honest or corrupt, in order to catch these guys, they need to monitor economic activity. So if you have a taco shop and you don't want to pay sales taxes, well, how are you going to get caught if nobody comes and verifies that you're paying sales taxes? So the public officers that make sure these regulations are followed, they have to monitor. Now, their incentive to monitor depends on what they get paid.
But that notion isn't one that has been deeply explored by others who study corruption.
To me, it was clear after many years of working in this field that the literature is very harsh and is very clear on how corruption is, under all circumstances, pervasive, and it makes regulatory compliance decrease. So it was obvious to me that there was a gap in the literature and a contribution to be made. It turns out that most people that had looked at this issue had, and I'm not going to say ignored, but overlooked the fact that most civil servants get paid a fixed wage.
He says that if officials who are paid fixed wages were instead paid a commission on their actions, the converse would be true, in that corruption would actually hamper regulatory compliance.
So in the case of the police officer, you get to see that the guy would not sleep if he would be paid a commission on the tickets he writes. But to me, economics is not only what should be and what the best world would be, but it's also writing about the real problems that we face every day. And it turns out that most public officials get paid a fixed wage. So under those circumstances, is it possible for corruption to foster compliance? And the answer that I found, at least in this paper, is yes, it is possible.
But for his paper to stand up to scrutiny, Fabio had to find empirical data to back up his hypothesis. So he turned to a data set compiled by the World Bank. The data was a collection of survey data from firms who self-reported on several areas, but amongst the questions asked were ones pertaining to how much the firms paid in bribes to avoid paying taxes.
Now, of course, you would like better and better detail and better data. This was the closest thing that I could find to what I needed. So in this survey, firms are asked, how much did you pay for concepts of bribes related to tax avoidance? And at the same time, they were asked a set of other questions, no? Such, for example, how much of the sales that you should report, you report. So like that, you can measure regulatory compliance. In this case, the regulation will be sales taxes paid, and the firms self-report whether they paid 100% of what they should have paid or not.
Although the self-reported firm-level data has some measurement error, Fabio was able to use the data to get an idea of the amount of regulatory compliance as it pertained to sales tax collection versus the amount of corruption or bribes paid. While he says that the data doesn't absolutely confirm his theory, the data provided a positive correlation that he used to support his theory. But Fabio says that one thing must be kept in mind when making any statements about what effects corruption has on regulatory compliance.
If you were to make a statement and say, well, when corruption goes up, regulatory compliance goes down, it's very easy to say when corruption goes up and then the rest, but it's very hard to put meaning on that sentence. Corruption goes up. Well, what does it mean?
Fabio says that measuring corruption could include many variables. Variables such as the amount of each bribe paid, the number of times the bribe is paid, or the number of regulations that are being broken. The list could go on, which is why Fabio says that economists need a better overall understanding of corruption so that better tools for measuring corruption can be developed so as to study corruption more empirically rather than abstractly.
This inability of people to make the jump from an abstract notion of corruption that you can also say dishonesty. But, well, just like you cannot measure happiness, just like you cannot measure honesty, well, it turns out that you cannot measure corruption in the abstract, and then you need better tools, better measures to do this. And then I think once people educate themselves and make that jump to say, okay, you know what? If I want to study corruption, if I want to talk about corruption, I need a better sense of what I'm talking about. Then this story is not so hard to understand.
For Ozarks at Large, I'm Timothy Dennis.